last time we look at 3 points, and tonight we will be looking at two things, two areas of this lengthy presentation that Sister Bennett read, and we hope that we will have a good understanding of what Acts chapter 2 represents. Last time we talked about what has changed since the coming of the Holy Ghost. One of the things that we discovered there is that whereas the Holy Ghost was among the people, now the Holy Ghost is in the believers, has taken up resident in the believers. Now, this does not necessarily mean that all believers have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. But by virtue of conversion, the Holy Ghost has taken up residence in the believer. The experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a separate occasion, one in which all of us have the right to ask God for. If we ask Him for it, He will give it unto us, because the Word tells us that we who are evil, if our children come to us and ask us for bread, we will not give them a serpent. Much more God, if we ask Him, He will give us the Holy Ghost. So all we have to do is to ask the Lord, and He will baptize us with the blessed Holy Spirit. But let it be made clear, as long as you are a believer, as long as we are a believer, the Word tells us that the Holy Ghost has taken up residence inside of us. No person, woman or men, no person can claim that they are saved without having the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 tells us that. We are the children of God because of the position of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to have that clear. And we look forward to having a clearer understanding of the presence of the Holy Ghost in us and working among us to advance the purpose of Jesus as we give Him the glory that is due to His holy name. So we look forward tonight that what we will see here from Acts chapter 2 will give us a greater sense of understanding as to how the Holy Spirit is working to advance the work that Jesus started. And tonight we are going to start by looking on a question that was asked by the crowd that was there. And that is to be found in verse 12, which was read from the last time. Acts chapter 2, verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? The entire crowd of people, which we are told here, was a big crowd. In fact, the Word tells us that in verse 5, that there were dwellers in Jerusalem, Jews, devoted men, out of every nation under heaven. That vast crowd that gathered up there at the temple, when they learned of what was taking place in the temple, the outpouring of the blessed Holy Spirit, the vast crowd that descended upon that temple ground, when they listen and heard, it creates an environment that appear to be confusing based on what is said here in 14, in 12 and 13. 13 said, I read 12 and 13 again. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. So there's a section of the crowd was wondering what is taking place. And there's another section of the crowd who were mocking and said, these are drunk people. The behavior of the brethren in their mind is that they were drunk. But we need to remember one thing here. One of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And so it would not be that these brethren, these 120, were throwing themselves down or staggering all over the place or crashing into building or any such thing. Because as much as they were under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, yet because of the nature of the Holy Ghost having the ability to exercise self-control, based on what Galatians 5:23 tells us, we realize that that could not be the case. Where the difference was is in what they were hearing. They have never heard so many different languages spoken at one time. And from the presentation of these different languages that were spoken by the 120, it creates an atmosphere in which questions were asked by this company. But we bless the Lord tonight. We're going to start by seeing how God's servant, Peter, arise to this occasion. Arise to this occasion. And each of you here tonight, whenever time you come to church, in fact, even if you have to visit another church, you should do so with a caution that because it is under the umbrella, the service is under the umbrella of the Spirit of God, there can be things happen outside of the norm. In the interest of God. And it is from this end that we should exercise utmost reverence whenever time we come into a meeting, even one such as this. Because it is not outside of the realm of possibility. For the Lord to anoint any member of our company, because he wants to inject something in the service which is beneficial to all of us. This is a Holy Ghost service. And it is not only Holy Ghost in name, but it should be Holy Ghost in nature. And therefore, when we commit the service to the Lord in prayer, we gave it to him. We say, Lord, Take control of this meeting from start to finish. Let the anointing of the blessed Holy Spirit be on us as we have fellowship together. We have actually handed the service to the Lord. And therefore, it is His responsibility and it is His service to do in this service whatever He chooses. He can use any vessel here, any vessel here, to reflect upon something that he considers important to the development of the brethren. And of course, if it is done by the Lord, it is going to be decent and it is going to be in order. So when we look and we see what Acts is saying to us, Acts 2, the portion Sister Bennett read, we can't help but admire Peter. We cannot help but admire. In fact, we were looking on Peter for quite a while. We were looking at Peter from we saw what Peter was doing in the selection of the apostle to make up the 12 in the absence of Judas. We admire the way in which he approached the selection. Because having assumed the responsibility of leading the church, in the absence of Jesus, we realize that it is a mantle that he has taken up which carries tremendous weight. The group needs to have a leader. And Peter emerged as that leader. And he led the replacement stage of the meeting by introducing Matthias to the company, and ultimately he became a member of the 12. But they have been through that 10 days. They have waited together. The word tells us that they had all the unity was sealed. They were in one accord in the upper room, waiting for the appearing of the Holy Ghost. And on that Saturday night, as they were all there, waiting, daybreak Sunday morning, and the Holy Ghost fell on the 120 of them. And the Holy Ghost gave them utterance and allowed every single one of them, because the word tells us clear that every single one of them were baptized with the blessed Holy Spirit. Including Peter. But the interesting thing, saints, is as they continue to rejoice in the Lord, and the news went out that this had happened, all of those in and around the temple who came there, and it was no coincidence. It was planned by God that this should be so. All these people that comes there, as the word tells us, from every nation under heaven, and appear there in Jerusalem, they came there not only for the celebration of the festival, but it was to involve The experience of Pentecost in its fullness, the opening of the church, the new dispensation of grace that God has introduced for humanity. The bringing together of all people was to be part of the celebration in Jerusalem. And so all these people from different places came because God had planned it this way. And when they came and they saw and heard what was taking place with this 120, they started to question and they started to ask, what is this? But we get back to Peter now. But Peter, having heard and see the questions and the different queries and the eye-popping experience of all those who were there, it requires some form of explanation. And Peter, hallelujah, under pressure for the moment was of such that it requires a level-headed man, somebody who is able to assess, read, and maintain a calm spirit to be able to address such a moment. And the word tells us here in verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, hallelujah, hallelujah. Here is a leader of the church. Here are the support leaders of the church. Out of the 120, they came forward as leaders of the church. And out of that 12, Peter stood up to address a situation that could have gone wrong had it been for the Holy Ghost directing the proceedings. And Peter was being used here by the Holy Ghost to deal with a situation that was necessary. Peter said to the company, "These are not drunken, as you suppose." See that it is just the ninth hour of the day. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. See that it was just a third hour. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. They are just coming off of a night of worship, of praise, the anointing, the Holy Ghost has come. Today is the first day of the church. The door of the church is now open. And entering to that door was the 120, the first members of that church. And somewhere between 9 and 10 o'clock, Peter preaches the first message to the church. "These are not drunken, as you believe." I don't know about you, but I've seen drunken people in my time. I've seen drunken people from time to time, especially in my earlier days. And some of them behavior were not nice. I can tell you that. And you know some, but you know something? If one could say, is there anything good come out of somebody that is drunk? I'm talking about intoxicated now with alcohol. For the most part, what I learn about them is that they become extremely generous when they are drunk. They would give you anything. And I don't know if that should be considered a good thing, because it is a lack of understanding, a lack of consciousness for them to be doing that. But then again, that is one of the things that I learned about them. They become very generous. Is that saying anything to us in terms of being filled with the Holy Spirit? As the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians, I think 2:30, that we should not be drunken with wine, wherein is excess, but instead we should be filled with the Holy Ghost. And if that is so, it means that we should be generous. We should be a set of generous people. We should be generous if we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Be kind to one another. Be kind in our words. Be kind in our actions. Be kind in our pockets. But these are not drunken, as he supposed, seeing that it is only 9:00. But this is that. Now, brethren, let's stop for a minute. Let's stop for a minute and to see what is taking place here. To see what is taking place here. These are not drunken as he supposed. But this is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. Now, we're going to look at these two segments here. We're going to look on the segments here where the prophecy of Joel was timed to fall in right here. Joel had prophesied for over 1,000 years. Joel had prophesied about this moment. And here is Peter. Here is Peter, not getting a heads up, so to speak, from the Lord, that you are going to preach a sermon on the first day of Pentecost, which is on this Sunday morning. He did not receive, at least the word, the Bible did not explain that part of it to us. He did not get the heads up from the Lord that you will be preaching a sermon on the first day of Pentecost. But when what would be considered strange development occur, and questions were being asked here and there, and they have never seen anything like this. It requires somebody to step up to the plate in order to defend this. To defend this. Somebody needs to step up to the plate to defend it. And who did it? Peter without preparation. Peter without preparation. What is it then that caused Peter to be able to slide into this and fit in there so well without having an heads up that he was going to minister on this particular day? What is it that caused it? There are two things. The two things. One, Peter already studied the word. Peter already had the whole scroll, the scroll of the Old Testament, in his spirit. He had gone through and the different sections of the Bible. Peter already studied it. And he had it inside of him. That was one. Two, the blessed, the introduction of the blessed Holy Spirit. He had just received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that has come to be a witness of Jesus, not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. And Peter is one of them who had the anointing to do this. Coupled up with the word that he has in his spirit because of his previous studies, he was able to step up to the plate here and declare and give account for what is taking place to the hundreds, or may I say thousands, of people who had gathered then. This is a remarkable moment, but especially in the life of Peter. These are not drunken. As he lifted up his voice, the word tells us, without a bullhorn or a microphone, in the company of so many people, there are noises. And he lifted up his voice so that his voice could be heard from such a distance. And he declares that these are not drunken, as he supposed, but this is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet, that in the last days I will pour out of my spirit. What did he say? I will pour out, but this is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet, and it shall come to pass, verse 17, in the last days, said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant and on my handmaid, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Peter quoting Joel, which was spoken hundreds of years before. Now hear this, church. It is because of what Peter had in him, why he was able to immediately draw down on the scripture, the Holy Ghost directing him. Pull out this one, Peter. It is relevant for the moment. Now, I must say this to the church tonight, that most of these people who came in to Jerusalem are people who are also familiar with the scripture. They are Jews, devoted men. That's what the word tells us. From every nation under heaven, they would have gone through the scrolls. They would have understood very well what the different prophets spoke of as far as Jesus is concerned. The different things that are lying on that book. And Peter knew very well that they know what he's talking about. And so a situation like this has to be answered from the scripture. The answer got to come from the scripture. This has never happened in the world prior to. It is a new thing that they were hearing. And they asked, what is this? And Peter pulled out the scripture, the relevant scripture, to show them what it is. And this is the first of the two areas of scriptures from the Old Testament that Peter uses to address this massive crowd. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, saith the Lord. This is what was happening. This is the beginning of it. This is where the Holy Ghost has started to work in the lives of people and in the life of the church in general. Right here at Pentecost. And Peter was able to use the relevant scripture, Joel, to bring that out. I will pour out my people upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see vision. And your old men shall dream dreams. You know, when I read this, I was going through this earlier on today. And when I see it says, your old men shall dream dreams. I remember we had a faithful brother, a loving brother, everybody loved him, in the Apostolic Church in America, called Elder Harris. And I don't know if anybody could dream as much as Elder Harris. Elder Harris would dream different dreams. And he would come to church and he would say, listen, man, I dreamed this last night. Or I dreamed this the other day. And I'm trying to work out what this dream meant. I don't understand this dream. He would come and he'd present dream in different angles. Brother Harris could dream. And I remember very well that every time that after hearing Elder Harris mention these dreams all the time, every time when I go to Ox and come across here, I must remember him. I must remember him because our old men shall dream dreams. And I would say to Elder Eric sometime when he tells me about these dreams, I would say to him, Elder, the word tells us that you're going to dream dreams. But it is not only for Elder Eric or for those who were there in the upper room, but it is for us today, and it is going to be for others going in the future. All of this that Peter mentioned after the crowd are things that will continue as far as long as the church is with us. People are going to have these different experiences as Joel mentioned of. Because the prophecy was fulfilled right there and then at Pentecost. But because of what was said here, it is going to continue as far as the church is concerned. And Peter addressed that company, and that company understood what Peter was saying because they also know of the prophecy. It is just that God's servant stood up to the occasion, and it was necessary according to the Holy Ghost for this particular prophecy to be expounded at this time, to clarify the so-called confusion that they seem to imply on the day of Pentecost. So Peter used the prophecy of Joel to settle the people, to settle all the inquiry, to silence the critics, those who said that the people were drunk, so that he would get a chance to address the church by presenting Jesus. I'm saying to the church tonight that when we read this and see the experience there on Pentecost, and to know that things weren't just happening without anybody directing it, we realize that it is the direction of the blessed, only it was the direction of God using the Holy Ghost to present a situation which would signal the dispensation of grace in which all people would become part of the kingdom. I'm thanking God tonight that while we were not there as in a physical sense of Pentecost, our cause there were presented in the sense that those were the first to enter into the church, but ultimately we too have entered in, and we have found comfort in this church that God has established. So before I go into the second section where Peter is now addressing the church and the company, I'm going to open up the telephones and I'm going to ask for your involvement if there's a thought that you'd like to share with us tonight. Who would be the first?
Pastor, I'd like to just make an highlight here that from in the Gospel of John, we find that they, if I might use a term, the spotlight was on Peter. Remember, a question was asked, Jesus asked Peter, and who do you think I am? And he said, thou art the Son of God.
Indeed.
That was the answer Peter gave. And Jesus confirmed that he would be an important person, Peter.
Yes.
After the death and resurrection.
Matthew 16.
Thank you.
Yes.
In the death and resurrection of Jesus, he came back to the 12 disciples again. And you notice he took out Peter and he asked the question, lovest thou me more than these? And he continued to say three times, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, and feed my lamb. This is indicating to us all as we read, and Luke, who is the writer, inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this, saying, but Peter, notice that, he didn't call another disciple. there were 12 apostles, and the 12 apostles are the foundation of the New Testament church. Word of God says, stand up with the 11. Notice the 12 disciples. And he was a spokesman from ever since.
Indeed.
He was called to be the spokesman. And he was able to expound the word of God through the Holy Spirit, through the multitude that was there. So we find that the apostles played a very important part in the establishing of the New Testament church of Christ.
Yes.
Because God said it was 120 of them
raised
up in the upper room. But it's interesting that Luke, in his writing, says, but Peter, comma, standing up with the 11.
Yes, sir.
With the 120.
No, with the 11.
Lifted up his voice. And
yes,
said, sir. He then began to expound the word of God to them.
Yes.
Peter, again, was the first one to preach the fullness of the gospel. The coming of Jesus, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension to this vast multitude here. And they were so pricked to their heart that they asked, what must we do?
Right.
And he explained to them, it was Peter, not one out of the 12, but Peter. Correct.
Yes.
That was found the gospel that we had. What a altar call we had.
Yes.
3,000 or 4,000 people accepted after we explained to them about Joel, which was again another prophecy that Peter, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, was able to go back into the Old Testament to confirm the word of God.
Yes, indeed.
So Peter played a very important part in the establishing of the church. What an altar call was made after he preached Jesus. That's it. And so I want to just highlight, there's much more that I could say, but I want to give somebody else another chance. It's interesting that Luke pointed this out, which is important. Peter played a very important role in the ministry of Jesus while he was walking the streets of Galilee from Jerusalem up until the day of Pentecost. There again, he was a spokesman for the representative of the church. 120 people. I'll stop at that.
Bless God. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you very much for highlighting those areas of Peter's ministry, because it is so important. And brethren, let me just say this to us. Order. Order is so important in whatever it is that we do.
Amen.
Because Peter in terms of learning, academic, there was a time when we will see, pick it up later on, where somebody said, but these people are unlearned. So Peter will not go out there and boast to say that I have a PhD, I have a master's, I'm a professor. And Peter would not do that. Matthew were in the midst. Matthew was one of them in here. Matthew was an extraordinary, eloquent, and bright man in the midst. And yet, Matthew kept quiet. Matthew kept quiet because it is God who is using Peter at this time.
Amen.
I just want the church to understand what is going on here. The order in which God is using his servant. And don't think for a minute that those 120, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus' brothers, who were there among others, don't think that they didn't have something that they could say. But all I believe that they were doing in the background when Peter was there addressing the company from Joel was they were saying, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, church. Amen. Amen. In sync with God's servant. Hallelujah. That's the new church. The dispensation of grace. Hallelujah. The dispensation of grace has started to unfold itself in the presence of thousands. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. I wonder if there's somebody else, but let me just acknowledge our new visitor. You probably came in after the announcement. We're glad to have you. The Lord bless you, and we trust that the Lord will deposit something in your spirit as we go through this tonight. Bless the Lord. Thanks for being here. Is somebody else who would like to make a comment? Somebody else would like to say something on this?
Yes, Pastor.
Yes, Sister Barbara.
Speaking about Peter who stood up to preach Jesus, everything he spoke was introducing Jesus.
Yes.
But my mind goes back to what Jesus said to those same disciples, apostles, in John 15:26, talking about this very occasion. But when the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth,
yes,
which proceeds from the Father, he shall do what? Testify of me. Testify. So it is always about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is always pointing us to Jesus. And just like Peter did, he said, you know, we talk about you shall be a witness because you have been with him from the beginning. So these apostles, they knew everything about Jesus from birth to the cross to the resurrection. So, and that is why they were choosing to replace Judas. They said that the person had to be one that was with them from the beginning. That knew all of this. So that the Holy Ghost is always pointing to Jesus. Nobody else. He's not speaking of himself. He's speaking of Jesus.
Jesus. Yes. Yes. Thank you for that thought, Sister Barbara. I mean, brethren, listen, we are here in this meeting tonight. And all of this was not formed by Pastor Fiani. All of this was not formed by me or anybody else. Yes, Pastor Clark brought this vision to America. But it is the working of the blessed Holy Spirit. It is the blessed Holy Spirit behind the scene, the unseen man behind all of this that makes this possible. Using different instruments at different times to advance the purpose of Jesus. And this will continue until the Lord Jesus himself come back. Because from what we see here, what had started there at Pentecost, it is something that is going to continue, and it is going to continue until the day Jesus stepped in to take his people home. We need to get involved here. We need to seek the Holy Ghost in a deeper sense. Ask God to baptize us And to let us have the experience of the blessed Holy Spirit, because he is not just for the 120 or these 3,000 that got saved on that day, but he is for all of us at different age, at different time. Tonight, we are sure that his presence is with us, and he's available only if we ask to have this experience. In the meantime, let me remind us that all of us here who are believers, the word tells us that the Holy Ghost has taken up residence inside of us. We should know that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. All of us need to know that. So he's not too far from us to baptize us. He's right within us. He's within us, living in us, to give us this new experience as to who he is. Let me, for the sake of time, because go on to the second half of this section here. Now, Peter says something again. Men and brethren, when he was about to talk about Joel, how did he address that? In verse 14, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my words. That is verse 14, as he was about to tell them about the Holy Ghost and how much the Holy Ghost used Joel to bring across that prophecy which tied into Pentecost. He invited everyone to be silent and give attention to what he's about to say. Now we find that he is actually saying the same thing, because he is about to now embark on another area that will explain to the vast company the purpose why they are there, and the experience that everyone were having, why they were having such an experience. When you look at verse 29, listen to what he said. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Again, he invited the vast company to pay attention to him. There is another aspect of the whole thing that he wishes to explain to them. And what did he say to them? Verse 29:30. Therefore, being a prophet, he said to them, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his lines, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And seen this before. Now, this is interesting, church. This is interesting, because Peter is saying to us tonight, David, after so many hundred years, he makes it clear that he's dead and gone, and his sepulchre is with us. After so many hundreds of years, David had seen by revelation. David had seen it as part before his eyes. The crucifixion of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. Peter is making it clear to all of them that were there that David had seen it, verse 31. He seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus that God raised up, whereof we on this side are witnesses. David had seen it long ago. It is new to us, but David, hundreds of years ago, bear testimony to the fact that the time is going to come when this happened to a man, the Messiah, the Son of God. And it happened, and we are here 40 days, 50 days, in fact. We are now here in this upper room, and we are seeing what was promised as a result of what Jesus had accomplished. We are seeing it now playing out before our very eyes, Peter was saying to the company. And now I repeat myself again by saying, these people who were predominantly Jews, they read the scrolls. They read David's account. They know what the prophets had said. And when Peter stood up and speak to this, they understood what Peter was saying. And they bear witness to the fact that that is what the scroll had said. That is what caused everyone to pay attention and glue to every word that came out of the mouth of God's servant. Because he's now speaking about Jesus, the Jesus that many of them rejected when he was walking around doing good. The Jesus that many of them speak ill about. The Jesus that many of them refuse to believe that he is the Son of God. The Jesus who is the Savior of the world. Many of them rejected and for killed. Some of those who were there, they were party to the crucifixion of Jesus, which, as we read on, we'll find out. Paul, the apostle Peter was speaking to them, and they were convinced that what he was saying is true. And in fact, as Sister Barbara pointed out earlier, the Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of Truth. Amen. And the Holy Ghost was upon Peter. Peter had just received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in order for him to witness and others to witness. So as much as Peter was speaking, it was the Holy Ghost that was in him, directing him to what he should say, which scripture he should bring up at this particular time for the purpose of bearing witness to Jesus. And Peter went for David this time. The first time it was Joel. Now he goes for David, and he brings them to what David had said. And this is something that they know very well, and they bear witness to. This Jesus, verse 32, had God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed for this which ye have now seen and hear. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What you are seeing, what you are hearing is because of what the Father has promised that he will do through this Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said unto himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I name thy enemy thy footstool. Revelation that comes through David. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, and assuredly, that God had made the same Jesus whom ye had crucified, both Lord and Christ. The same Jesus that you have rejected, the same Jesus that you have schemed to kill, God had made him both Lord and Christ. I believe at this point, if you drop a pin in the crowd of thousands, you would have heard that pin. Because the Holy Ghost now is not just directing Peter, but the Holy Ghost is now moving through the congregation, moving through the entirety of the people who were there, working on their hearts. The Holy Ghost was bearing witness to what Peter was saying in the heart of those who were listening. And bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I can also pray the Lord. Listen to what verse 37 said. Now when they heard this, when they heard the presentation of Peter, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles who have been silent at this time. But their body language tells you that they were in sync with Peter. They turn to the 12 and they ask them, what shall we do? What shall we do in the face of truth? Coming from two directions. Peter speak about what David had said on hundreds of years before, and what David had seen hundreds of years before. And two, Peter is now presenting what had just happened today, the first day of the church, tying both things together and handing to them as a package. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, bearing witness to all of this. They reached a place where they said one to the other, what shall we do here? What shall we do? Here comes the famous answer from Peter. Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, I notice even at this time, as they ask Peter and the 12 and the 11, what should they do? Notice Peter did not turn now to 11 and said, are you with me? Because he knows, Peter knows, that it is a oneness. Whatever he says, the 11 are in sync with him. So there's no need for him to say, are you with me? It was this presentation of the same spirit. So Peter, in verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and baptize every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, And ye shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, it is interesting here that Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because it is Jesus who they rejected. It is the Jesus who they have rejected that Peter had just presented. It is the Jesus they have rejected that David has spoken of. And they read the scroll and they know. Peter is saying, that same Jesus, salvation can only come in his name. If you embrace him. So repent and baptize every one of you in the name of Jesus. He whom you have rejected in the past. Embrace him now. Because it is only through him that this blessing can come. As Pastor said, what an appeal. What an appeal.
Amen.
Verse 39. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, the promise is not only restricted to this company, as big as it is, Peter was saying, but as far as the Lord shall call, meaning you and I here tonight and beyond. When we are out of the scene, if the Lord tarried, our children, children, and children, grandchildren, this same promise is going to be offered unto them.
Amen.
And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this unto our generation. Can you imagine, after Peter have been preaching so long, preachers still have more things to say? So I hope nobody don't quarrel with me if I preach long. all of you who keep quiet with me because I preach long, I hope you stop by now. Because you see how long Peter have been preaching, and then the Bible says, with many other words. That means the brother went on much further. Okay, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. I'm just making fun of you, church.
Yeah.
I realize that I need to cut down on my preaching, which I'll be doing right now too. And so they all were baptized. The word tells us that 3,000 people. 3,000 people.
Amen.
And I don't know. I don't know if more people were there. I have every reason to believe that there were more people in attendance.
Amen.
But 3,000 people were saved. God saved. Embrace the scripture. Embrace Jesus. And that one day. So the door of the church opened with 120 plus 3,000.
Mm.
And then when you read towards the end, when you read towards the end, the last verse, there were, let me read verse 46, and then I read the last verse. And they continued dealing with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So 3,000 on the first day. And then the word tells us now, after that, daily the Lord is adding to that company.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say to all of us tonight, The work belongs to the Lord. And he knows exactly what to do and how to do his business. And we are glad tonight to watch the Holy Ghost work. Because this is the theme of our study. The work of the Holy Ghost in the early church. So we are looking at how the Holy Ghost is working to build that church. That Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Brethren, let me encourage you tonight to keep looking at God's word and to see the wisdom that is being displayed, to see what God is doing so as to help you and me to become stronger as we serve him. Mm-hmm. The Lord bless you until when we meet again for another study.